strife. Watching my temper, watching the fight, watching the vibes and how they play out. You know the energy always speaks loud. Big vibes run rampant, tall like giants. Oh, miracles before my eyes I see, taking form. Rebirth, new creature. Words from the preacher. God gon' still forgive a bad man. Bad man. God gon' still forgive a bad man. See how Jah works in mysterious ways. Blind man said that he sees today. Deaf man said that he heard what he said. Got them screaming out, more life, more life. No strife, no strife. What's in my temper? What's in the fight?
New creature, Kimani Marley, the maestro. And we just had a maestro of our own leave Studio 4. I'm talking about Big Poppy. Omar Malik, brother. And you just heard him on the last 2 hours with the Latino alt-rock. Hope you enjoyed that. And it's a favorite theme that he likes to end his 2 hours, his program with. So we tried to give you as much of that as possible. Well, it is currently 6:01 here at KFAI, Studio 4. 55 degrees outside. We were a high of 59 on our way down to a low of 42. Tomorrow and Sunday are going to be just marvelous. 60 and 65 degrees. You are listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI 90.3 FM HD in Minneapolis and St. Paul, and streaming around the planet at kfai.org. We are non-commercial, community-powered radio, and we have been for over 46 years. Support for this program comes from KFAI listener members and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Programming on KFAI is made possible in part through grants from the state of Minnesota and our wonderful listener supporters, just like you. Well, coming up here in just a few seconds, it's Good Medicine with your host, yours truly, Roya, in the evening.
The viewpoints expressed in this program are the opinions of the people expressing them and are not necessarily those of Fresh Air Incorporated, its staff, or its board of directors.
our werewolf with a Chinese menu in his hand, walking through the streets of Soho in the rain. He was looking for the place called Lee Ho Fooks, gonna get a big dish of beef chow mein. Kitchen door, you better not let him in. Little old lady got mutilated late last night. Werewolves of London again. Hairy-handed gent who ran amok in Kent. Lately he's been overheard in Mayfair. You better stay away from him, he'll rip your lungs out, Jim. I'd like to meet his tailor. Ah-hoo, werewolves of London. I saw Lon Chaney walking with the Queen, doing the werewolves of London. I saw Lon Chaney Jr. walking with the Queen, doing the werewolves of London. I saw a werewolf drinking a pina colada at Trader Vic's. His hair was perfect.
Of London by Warren Zevon. Should I give a howl? Yes. Oh, you know, werewolves are near and dear to my heart. Coming from Pawnee Nation and the Skeedy or Wolf Band, yes. And so... just like sometimes when we go to the cinema and we're rooting for the so-called bad guys, the natives. Well, those of us from the Skeedy Band always rooted for the werewolves. So I guess we're going to always be on the wrong side of history, as they would say. But I don't care. That's Warren Zevon. 1978 Excitable Boy, and right before that, you heard Low Valley by our Carlos Nakai Quartet. That always opens up our Friday evening sojourn here. Good Medicine with your host, Royal White Eagle Taylor, Pawnee Nation. I want to give a big shout out across Minnesota and Turtle Island. Han Bushu and Karahi to Ms. and Mr. Native America, to all those Indian canoes out on the lakes, rivers, and out to sea. Yes, I am your Native femme gem, your Indian glam doll, and your indigenous audio auntie. How about that? I'm going to be with you here for the next, about 50 minutes or so. We're going to be playing some Halloween-themed music. We'll forego many of our native artists for this evening because we're getting ready We're just a little bit away, a little under a week away from that big All Hallows Eve. I know that's a sort of a European type, I guess, holiday, if you want to call it that, leading into the fall. And then there's other events that take place throughout the rest of November. But I've always enjoyed Halloween. Not only was it a chance as a kid to be out late in the dark but with friends, but also to pick up some candy treats as well. And it was just something about the changing of the year in this season when we go from the warm weather, although we're still going to have some warm weather starting next week. But then, you know, the temperatures start dropping in the evening. It starts to get a little drizzly, a little rain. And, wow, if you've been here in Minnesota like me and you've been around long enough, you can remember that Halloween blizzard of, I don't even know when that was. That was so long ago. In the 1980s, that's for sure. That shows you how old I am, an old werewolf lady that I am. So, all right. Well, and then we're going to not only play a lot of this Halloween-themed or, I don't know what you would call it, spooky horror music, but we'll also have some stories. And then I'm going to tell you some of my own experiences as well as read an example of a ghost story from my dad's tribe or nation, the Pawnee people of Nebraska. Now down in, removed to Oklahoma. So let's go ahead. We'll get started here. I'm going to, you know, I was looking around. There are a lot of so-called, native ghost hunters, paranormal explorers, all of that. But a lot of what they're putting out there on their podcast and their shows, the production quality, the audio, is not as good as I would have hoped. So I did find some native theme horror stories. Now, these are hosted by non-native people, so I hope that's not going to be offensive to you out there. But let's go ahead and give it a try. This is actually, I found this, it's called... It's off of Let's Read. So it's a website that actually promotes reading, literacy, but they've included many of these stories about Native American, what they would consider mythology. But I like the bite-sized nature. You could probably, we'll probably listen to at least two stories here before we have to take our first break. So these are true scary skinwalker stories, and if you don't know what skinwalkers are, you'll get a flavor of that, and I can tell you more when we take our break. But here we go with skinwalker stories.
I don't really have an explanation for what happened. I have ideas, but here's the story. I'm a freshly graduated high school student on my way to college. During my senior year, I had a job working for my grandfather as a farmhand, more or less a farm manager. He would give me instructions on what to do on the farm without him being there, most commonly feeding the cows. It was early November, and at this time, baseball practice started after school and would last from 3:25 to 5:30. By that time, the sun was almost down when I arrived at work and started getting ready. One day, I had gotten dressed, filled up the buckets, and fed the first farm when I realized that I didn't have a key to the other farm. Frustrated, I was forced to pick up two buckets at a time and walk them from the fence to the feed trough, a good 40-yard walk. While walking, I was trying to keep myself upbeat and just started to whistle. No real pattern or tune, just something that I came up with. When I came back and put the last buckets in the bed of the truck, I heard something from my neighboring property. It was whistling. Strange, I thought, as no one lives anywhere near that property and it sounded very close. I rationalized it was a mockingbird or something and just kind of went on with my life. The next couple of days I didn't whistle, but the whistling continued. Slowly over those few days it got clearer and clearer until it sounded like regular whistling. Eventually it got louder. When I first heard it, it was very faint. I almost missed it over the crunching of me walking to my truck. In the last few days, I kind of became accustomed to the whistling and kind of expected it. When one day it didn't come, I was a little disappointed. This time, I had brought the key and walked up to the gate and started fiddling with my keys when I dropped them into the grass. I said, "Damn it," when I dropped them. I squatted down and started to search for them when I heard a very faint sound coming from the other property. A low groan or gurgle, and it was getting louder. At this point, I wasn't scared but more curious as to what was going on over there. I left my truck parked across from the property and walked a few feet down the road and hopped the fence at the property where I heard the sounds. The land in there goes straight uphill and is heavily wooded all throughout, and the further you go up, the more dense it gets. Looking back now, I made a few big mistakes that could have gotten me hurt. As I walked up the hill, I would occasionally hear the gurgle. It was far up the hill, so still as faint as it was before. As I walked, a bad smell started to hit my nose, a weird mixture of garbage and wet dog or something. I heard something as I was about to crest the hill.
"Damn it."
A very dry, low and quite distorted "damn it" came from a couple of yards in front of me. It sounded like a 60-year-old smoker saying "damn it" very slowly, as if they didn't know English or something. I automatically thought someone was on our property, somewhat angry and paranoid now. I started to move slower. I didn't want this guy to hear me before I could see them. I kept going and stopped and listened when I heard another sound.
Damn it.
This guy was now slowly saying "damn it" normally, not long and drawn out in that eerie way, as if he didn't know English. I sat down on this log, kind of listening, trying to figure out what I should do about this person. He kept saying it over and over, and I noticed his tone was getting higher and his inflection was changing. And it hit me. This guy was perfectly mimicking me. My tone, inflection, literally everything. He even mimicked my frustration when I said it. Angry and kind of scared now, I got up and started to crest the hill. I flicked on my flashlight and my phone.
"Hey, this is private property."
I was cut off mid-sentence. As I came over the hill, the light barely illuminated this naked figure squatting just a couple of yards in front of me. His eyes were illuminated by the faint glow of my flashlight. I automatically felt that something was wrong. This wasn't a regular person. His neck was longer than normal, and when I came up the hill, he winched his neck and snapped his head to look at me without moving. His eyes were too big, and his head was large and slender. He was squatted in a ballerina-type squat. I looked at his body. He was very skinny. His ribs were showing through his skin. There was a short silence, and like a robot, the man turned in the leaves and slowly stood with his hands next to his side. I was debating if it was even a person. It was far too tall to be a person.
"Damn it,"
it said in my voice. I turned and sprinted down the hill. It didn't feel like I was running, but more that my legs were just going through the motions. I didn't look back before I got to the fence, and when I hopped it, I got in my truck and sped away. Sadly, I still work at that farm, but I've never told anyone this story, not even my grandfather. I've only heard the whistling a few more times since then. I'm not really a believer in the paranormal, and I really try to find an explanation for weird stuff, and I believe that this may have just been some weird squatter, but I really don't know. My father told me a story once, and I'll never forget it for a few reasons. I think it's the first story he told me as a child. It's also the story of how my grandfather died. But honestly, that isn't the reason you hear stories on TV or sometimes you overhear something in a public place. People talk about ghosts and aliens and you think to yourself, that isn't real. They're making it up, or they're mistaken, or they're crazy. Something like that. He just can't believe it until something happens. Something that brings it all together, connects the dots in a way that you didn't think of before. Maybe it happens to you. Or maybe you hear the same story again and again happening to different people. It doesn't take long for the world to become a bit bigger than you thought. As I said, this is a story my father told me, but I never believed it, even though he swore up and down that it was true. It wasn't until I started clicking around the internet that I started to believe. I started to hear other stories just like the one my father told me. It didn't take me long to believe in the rake. That's not what my father called it, of course. He's never used the internet in his life. He wouldn't know what the consensus has taken to naming it. When he chose to call it something other than it, or that thing, he called it Skinwalker, after an old Navajo tale his grandfather told him. But I'll tell you the story the way he told it to me. We were out hunting one night, killing coyotes for $50 a skin. We lived on a dairy farm in Ohio, and sometimes we'd kill a calf. We'd do it every night because we needed the money. Sometimes while we were out, we'd come upon a deer and kill it. Our landlord didn't mind, and it could feed our family for a few nights and save us some money. Anyway, we were done making our rounds and heading home, walking because we didn't have a car or a four-wheeler back then. And we'd cut through the woods, and that's when we came upon it. Blood everywhere, splattered on the trees, in the grass, in the creek, everywhere. And at first, we figured it was a pack of coyotes. We'd seen it sometimes. They scavenge and then start hunting deer or cattle. The worst was when they bred with feral dogs, but this wasn't like that. When a pack of dogs or wolves or coyotes attack something, they do it right. They'll pick off one that's weak, sick, old, or just small. They'll hunt it, draw it into a corner someplace it can't get out of, and then they'll run it right to the biggest one, the alpha. And that deer will never see that alpha. It might hear it, but it won't see it. It'll just notice that its throat is gone, and then it will drop dead. It's quick. It's clean. That wasn't what happened here. Something had run up on a den of deer. Coyotes won't attack a den, and wolves neither, because they'd get too much of a fight. There were three, I think. Three bodies just torn apart. You'd see a head here, a leg there, a torso over there. Predators don't do that. They don't leave behind scraps. What had done this hadn't done it for food. It had done it for fun. But we didn't know that. We saw a bunch of carcasses, and we think it's something that we've got to take care of. I remember my dad telling me to go home. He thought it was a pack of feral dogs, but I wasn't leaving him, and I damn sure wasn't walking through 2 miles of woods alone with nothing but a .22 and a pocket knife. I was only 13 at the time, so a .22 rifle was about the only gun I could reliably use. Dad had the shotgun, and he wasn't going anywhere without it. It took me a while to convince him, but finally we began tracking whatever did that. It wasn't hard, either. We just followed the blood. Either that thing bled a deer before it got away, or it dragged one for a mile, I don't know. I know that I'd never seen my dad scared before that night. We started hearing noises. I've been in a lot of woods in my life. I've been all over the world, and I ain't never heard noises like I heard that night. I heard things screaming. Deer and fox and rabbits and raccoons and birds. Just scared. Now keep in mind, this is maybe 12 or 1 o'clock. Except the fox and some birds, nothing was supposed to be awake. But they weren't just awake. They were moving. I saw flocks of birds that night fly straight into trees just trying to get out of there. We came upon a pack of coyotes, nearly shot a couple, thinking that it was what we were looking for. But then we saw that they were running towards us. They ran right past us, didn't even notice. And then some deer did the same. And then some rabbits, squirrels, foxes, even a couple of wild hogs. These things were supposed to be eating each other, and the only thing they cared about was getting out of there. We should have put it together that maybe whatever we were tracking, it wasn't something we were supposed to see, and it wasn't something we could kill. I don't know why we didn't just go home. I guess we were curious. I think that was my dad's nature, to go toward trouble, to fight. And knowing what I knew about what my father did during the war, my nature was to stay close to him. We finally get into an open valley. It was normally a soy field, but it wasn't in season, so it was just flat dirt. We saw the tracks. Then a lot of the animals fleeing the forest had paved over the land. But where the deer blood was, nothing had taken a single step, like they were leaving it for us to find. The tracks were shallow. Whatever it was couldn't have weighed more than 100 pounds. But that didn't mean much. A bobcat weighing around 40 pounds nearly tore my damn throat out once, and all that means is that it's quick and it's hard to hit. So we follow the tracks, and it doesn't take long for us to find where it is. There's this old schoolhouse that sits on the top of the hill. Half of it had been ripped out by a tornado and nobody lived there, not for a long time. We caught homeless people in there sometimes, or druggies looking for a safe place to shoot up. We figured maybe that was it. Maybe it was just some sick kid riding a high, but we didn't think that for long. We get within 50 yards and we hear this noise, a screeching kind of sound. It was sort of made up of two different sounds. One, a high-pitched screech. Another was a low-pitched growl. It was making both at the same time. We get within 20 yards and we hear this sound. I can remember thinking that it sounded like paper being torn apart while someone was swinging water in a bucket back and forth. Dad looks at me, kneels down, and whispers, "I gotta stay behind him, cause we're about to corner him. Any animal will fight when it's cornered, especially when it's a predator, but we can tell by the tracks that it's just one." He tells me it's probably a single feral dog, probably rabid. The plan is to sneak up on it while it's eating, shoot it, and then keep shooting until it doesn't move anymore, and then slit its throat. If it gets to Dad, it's my job to shoot it or stab it to get it off of him. So he walks up and I'm right behind him, just a tad to his side so I can see what it is. I wish to this day that I hadn't. It was leaning over a carcass, tearing off its flesh and throwing what it doesn't nibble at its side. There's blood all over the brick, glistening in the moonlight. It's pale white, human looking, but not quite human. It had arms and legs like a human, but it sat like a monkey hunched over. Its hands weren't normal. It had long fingers with claws at the end. So we see that, and my dad hesitates. He wasn't about to fire on a person, so he clears his throat to try to get it to turn around. I swear to God, all the noise just ceased. I ain't never heard true silence before that, and not after it. But for 2 seconds, nothing. Nothing made any noise, which made it all the louder when it turned around, made this shrill cry and jumped on Dad. He got a shot off. I think he missed it. If he hit the thing, it didn't mind, but it was on him, tearing parts of him off. I start shooting it with a 22 point blank, but it barely bled. The thing. I got off 5 rounds, and then I started hitting it with the gun butt. It wasn't budging. It didn't even register that I was there. It clawed at my dad, taking off bits of his flesh. It started on his torso, ripping off the skin, and then it moved up. It tore off his throat, his nose, his eyes. It scalped him. Then it started digging in and ripping off the bottom half of his jaw, the little bones in that tube in your neck, and then his ribs. I don't exactly remember what happened, but somehow my dad's knife ends up in the thing's shoulder, and my dad ends up on my back. I'm running. And by God, I'm running faster than I'd ever run before or after, and I know it's following me. I end up back in the woods, opposite the ones we've been in. I'm heading towards my landlord's house because it's a half a mile away. I can hear this thing screeching and moaning. I hear the tree branches crack and get thrown around. It sounds like someone taking an axe to every single tree I pass. It's cracking so loud and often, but I'm not looking back. Finally, I trip into gravel. I look up and there's my landlord and a bunch of his buddies drinking around a campfire. I scream and cry and they come over. I'm telling them to call an ambulance and he looks at me. And I never forget what he said. "What's that on your back?" he asked me. And just as he said it, he saw one of those god-awful flannel shirts my dad wore everywhere. It was what was left of my dad. Most of his head, his torso, but nothing after the waist. Suddenly we hear it screeching, and he grabs me. My dad gets thrown on the ground, and I'm fighting him, crying because I think we can still save him somehow. But my dad had been gone before I even picked him up. He has to pick me up and throw me inside before I come with him. He and his buddies were all inside, and they're locking doors and getting guns ready. The landlord looks at me, asking, "What happened? What happened?" But I just don't know what to tell him. He pieced enough of it all together to understand that there was something dangerous out there. All the lights in the house are on, and someone calls the cops, and they'll be there in 15 minutes. We look outside and see it walk in front of the fire they'd made. I don't know what it is. One of them says it looks like an ape. And suddenly something goes through the window. We shoot at it, but it ain't the thing. It's my landlord's dog. Just the body, though, not his head or legs. And we start pushing things in front of the door and windows when we hear something in the garage. I remember one of his friends saying that the doors were open, and we hear metal and glass just getting ripped apart. We put a couch and a TV in front of the door to the garage. It banged around some more, but then it got quiet. Not silent like it was before. We could hear it move around some, and the guys were talking, making sure the guns were ready. Someone hands me a pistol, and no sooner did I cock the hammer back did we hear something shatter upstairs. Then we heard it screech again, except now it was louder, and it didn't echo and fade out because it was inside with us. We all rushed to the one door leading upstairs, and we got to it just as that thing did. It opened it just a bit, and four or five men just slammed into it. It got its hands through. Someone with a shotgun took care of that, put the barrel right up to its wrist and pulled the trigger, cut its hand clean off. That only made it angry, though. It started pushing on the door, clawing. We were on one side, pushing as best as we could, and it was on the other doing the same. That wood just wasn't going to hold, so someone tells us to keep our heads down. Suddenly, the top half of the door is just gone. My ears are ringing and there are splinters everywhere. Two or three of them just unloaded on the top of that door. I don't really know where it went after that. The police showed up. I was still glued to that door, what was left of it, and the sun was up before they got me off it. They put me in a hospital for a while, and a lot of people talked to me, but I didn't talk back. Not for a long, long time. When we got back home, I got a job from the landlord working on the farm. We didn't talk much, not about that thing. But I signed up for the army when I was 19, and he sat me down to drink some scotch as a send-off. I asked him right away what the police told him. The story they went with was a wild animal, probably a wolf or maybe a bear that had migrated north or something. I asked him about how they could say that when they had the hand. He looks at me, stunned. He tells me that hand never made it back to the station. The cop who had it and his car wrecked and drove into a tree, died on impact. The hand was never found, probably taken away by an animal. And the cops, when they would acknowledge the hand even existed at all, said that it simply was the paw of a bear that looked like a human hand. I never ended up talking to that landlord again. I guess he went missing when I was in basic, and the cops never found him. They said he owed some people some money and just ran away, but I don't think it's that simple. I never went back to those woods. I wouldn't, even if I had the whole goddamn U.S. Army at my back. And that was my father's story of the rake, or skinwalker. I'm still not sure what to think. But as I grew older, and when my mother died, I don't think my father felt that he had anything left, and he might as well settle old scores. He went back into those woods, I guess, and he never came back. The FBI was called, and they did a show and dance for everyone involved, but I knew that they weren't really looking. And they never did find him.
program is supported by Hennepin Health, your community health care plan. If you live in Hennepin County and you're eligible for medical assistance or medical care, Hennepin Health is here to help with coverage for medical, dental, and mental health care. Additional offers include gym benefits, rewards for visiting the doctor, and easy access to other services you may need. Learn more at hennepinhealth.org.
Do you love the program you're listening to right now? Who knows what other programs you might find when you visit kfai.org/schedule. Check out our broad range of programming on kfai.org.
Programming is supported by Minnesota Opera, presenting Romeo and Juliet, featuring an evocative score that captures Shakespeare's enduring story of two star-crossed lovers willing to sacrifice everything to be together. Romeo and Juliet will be on stage at the Ordway, November 2nd through 10th. Tickets at mnopera.org.
Well, that was the theme from the old daytime soap opera, Dark Shadows, but it was a gothic horror story about vampires. Barnabas Collins. I think that was redone as a movie by Johnny Depp, more of a comedy, back a few years ago. But if you're lucky enough like me to be around in the 70s, then you would rush home to catch Dark Shadows in the afternoon weekdays there. All right. Well, that second story took a little bit longer than I realized. It was kind of hard to check the counter there with trying to get two stories in. But Skinwalkers, yeah, that's I've always heard about them in the Southwest, and there's a lot of discussion, debate about differences between shapeshifters, skinwalkers, the Wendigo up in Canada. Any number of, classic horror, I guess you could call them figures, like werewolves, vampires, all of that. More of the natural world, I think. But skinwalkers are, I think, closely identified as ghouls and zombies by non-Native Americans. You're probably wondering, well, why are you wanting to focus on all of this? I guess I've just always been fascinated by it. I was always told as a kid, not to be talking about these kind of stories. And now I'm sitting here in the dark studio all by myself. And sometimes you hear things here at the station. And it turns out it's just somebody coming in to do some production work. But let me tell you real quickly a story that occurred to me. And I don't know whether it was a skinwalker or what. But years ago when I first came to Minnesota and I was with a Ojibwe or Anishinaabe girl, and we were going down to a sweat down on Prairie Island. It was a Friday evening. It was a little bit earlier than the start of time of good medicine. So we were heading down about 4 or 5 o'clock, made that drive an hour east of here along the Mississippi River. And as we're approaching, there's the bridge here that leads you over to the actual island. You'll see the signs entering the Prairie Island Indian Reservation, the Dakota Reservation. And this is pre-casino time, but the nuclear power plant was there, had it been sited there, and the storage of nuclear power plant waste was being deposited there on the island, on the Indian land or near Indian land. Anyway, it was dusk, and as we're crossing this two-lane road to get to the island, there was an oncoming car, and then our headlights met, and it illuminated right out in front of both of the vehicles right ahead of us, and I just happened to notice out of the corner of my eye a figure jumping from one side of the road, so at least, you know, 20 feet across, and took one bound into the middle of the road and then took another bound across and then into the brush down on the side of the road. It did not appear to be a deer, anything like that. And I know a lot of outdoors people say, oh, you'd be surprised at how fast and how far a deer can leap. But this also had an appearance of being on 2 feet. But its skin was not furry, is the best way I can describe it. There was no animal skin on it. It was sort of leathery, dark skin. It didn't stop to look at either one of the cars, and then we passed each other. And then just a few seconds later, I turned to my friend, and I said, did you see something just now that jumped in between the two cars? And she said, yes, I did. I was trying to be quiet because I didn't know if you saw it either. And I said, oh, yeah, I saw something. I don't know exactly what it was. And so she said, well, we'll ask the person who's going to put on the sweat tonight. And so we did, and he replied. He said, oh, yeah, people see a lot of strange things down here. And sometimes people think it's mutations from the nuclear power plant, but other people think it's also just the creators, other creatures, maybe relatives that are out for the evening. So that's just an example and of something that I experienced. You can believe me whether you want to or not. I don't know whether it was a skinwalker or what exactly, but this just reminds me here. I could tell you a ghost story, but there's some other great resources that are out there. Years ago, my family and I, again, you know, I like to take our children to see horror or mystery movies. Now, I don't care for the slasher movies. I don't like those. But this was something we saw at the International Film Festival here in the Twin Cities. It was from 2007. I encourage you to look it up. It's called Imprint. It has Carly Rae Holland as the mother. Michael Spears is in it. Anton Zelitzin, Carmelo. There's quite a few other smaller roles. But it takes place out on the Pine Ridge Reservation. And it's a ghost story, but it has a little twist about this young woman who's coming from Denver back to her home on the reservation and starts seeing images in her mother's home that she can't explain and are very upsetting and frightening to her. But in the end, it does reveal itself and resolve itself in a very good way, as we say. So, but that's Imprint from 2007. Check that out. Also, something that's more recent, because the teller of this story was talking about whistling, there's a book out called Never Whistle at Night, an indigenous, a collection of dark indigenous fiction. So it's an anthology, and it's from a few years back, 2023. And that's what I was always told, is when you're out, do not whistle. That calls the spirits to you. I was just up in Willow River a couple of weekends ago, and I did take a little walk after supper. I went down a country road leading up to the lodge where we were at, and I could hear things in the brush on either side of me. I couldn't see them because it was really dark, and I did not want to turn the light on my phone on to see what I may not want to see or have to remember. But I turned around, and I just kept my pace. I didn't run. That's the other thing. Don't run is what I was told, because the spirit may reach out and grab you or disfigure you in some way. But never whistle. I think that's pretty much common advice or wisdom that's given to young people. You know, there's so many stories that we could share tonight. I could probably almost talk for about 2 hours, but there's the deer woman that was portrayed very well on Reservation Dogs, but I grew up with stories about the deer woman. What else? You know, just like I say, Skinwalker. There's some great popular media movies out there. If you saw True Detective, Night Country, that was just last winter. And that's it has a great, compelling component that's about indigenous people up in Alaska. So just a lot there if you want to entertain yourself over the coming, looming, dark nights. Make a nice fire in the fireplace or outside in your fire pit and tell some stories, drink a little cider, and toast those marshmallows if you love that sort of stuff. That's what we're trying to do here tonight, just making a little good medicine by entertaining ourselves and enjoying our company here. Well, you know what? I'm already almost out of time here. I'm sorry we weren't able to get more stories in, but check that site out. It's called Let's Read. I was going to pull one from there that was about, what was I looking at? Well, we had skinwalkers, but there were other stories there about, I think one of them was the Wendigo, and I can't remember beyond that. But so just a little flavor to let you know that Indigenous people, Native American people, have always had our parallel world that we inhabit, that we exist in, and sometimes it crosses over into the non-Native world as well. So let's see here. You know, my son was just telling me that he rewatched Brotherhood of the Wolf, or Le Loup de Fraternité, which is a foreign film. It's all in French language, and it's a story about a werewolf, a supposed werewolf, in France in the 18th century. So check that out as well. Le Loup de Fraternité, or The Brotherhood of the Wolf. So, well, I was trying to think. Let me just go ahead and play. We'll play a little bit more music, and then we'll probably have to sign off for this evening. Let's see what we've got here. Oh, here's a good one. And then I'll sign it with something really special here. This is something just to lighten the mood tonight. Afraid of no ghosts. That's the instrumental version of Ghostbusters back from the, I think that was in the 80s, again, 1980s. It's Ray Parker Jr. provided the vocals to that, but I was able to find this this instrumental version as well. So wonderful music that led Harold Ramis and Bill Murray, Rick Moranis, Annie Potts, and Dan Aykroyd. All of them that made stars out of them. They had been on Saturday Night Live, but this was sort of a humorous look at ghosts and all the paranormal. Hey, maybe this will give me an idea. Maybe we'll just throw in a couple of these along the way here into November, leading up to Thanksgiving Day here. So, I do have to say good night. I'm sorry to leave you here. I'm sorry to leave you wherever you're at by yourself. But just remember, you can make good medicine. You can tell a few ghost stories. You can make a cup of coffee or tea, some of that swamp tea or cedar tea, and then shake a hand. Put a blanket around somebody as it's starting to cool off now. And sing a song, dance if you want to. And there's so much fun that we can undertake in getting to know each other and supporting each other. And we're getting ready to go into this storytelling season, the fall and the winter, when Mother Earth covers herself in a blanket of snow and ice and encourages us to all get closer to each other in the kitchen or in the living room or in front of the fireplace or maybe for a while outside, like I said, around the bonfire as well. All right, here we go. This is a classic. I hope you enjoy this. We're going to close it out with Michael Jackson and Thriller with a closing by Vincent Price. Oh, miss him so much.
dance across the land. The midnight hour is close at hand. Creatures crawl in search of blood to terrorize your neighborhood. And whosoever shall be found without the soul for getting down must stand and face the hounds of hell and rot inside a corpse's shell.
A wonderful Vincent Price, along with Michael Jackson and Thriller. All right.